Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
The itsy bitsy doctor crawled up the crystal spout? I don't know, the time spout. Sure, there's a spout probably somewhere in the TARDIS at this point. We're talking about the episode of Doctor Who, Arachnids in the UK. We're going to talk about giant spiders, this weird Mr. Big is on Doctor Who as a Trump analogy. There's so much to dissect, and we're going to talk about the TARDIS team. All that and more on tonight's Doctor Who After Show.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I don't even know what to say.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
We got...
Oh, yeah!
It's Doctor Who! It's a Doctor Who with a rap song.
Hashtag problems.
Oh my god, if you're not watching us on YouTube and you're listening to this, feel free to keep listening, but then go watch the YouTube video so you can see Dave getting his liquid feet on.
A little twerk. Mm-hmm. A little baby twerk.
It was beautiful, Dave.
Thank you.
It was beautiful. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. I'd also like to take a moment to apologize for the ridiculous cold open that we just did, in which I got a face palm out of Dave, and I consider that a success.
I just feel like there should be more spout talk, and I like how many times you mentioned the word spout.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to spout off who's on the panel tonight.
Oh, man.
I am Zach Wilson. I've got the whole panel's here today.
Again.
Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone. I'm Adrian Snow.
Zia Anderson.
Hi, guys. Zia here.
And Dave Child.
I'm Dave Child.
Guys, I'm so excited to jump in. All right, let's get this rap out of here. Kill it, Steve. Kill it. Okay, great.
I loved it.
All right. We all the spiders are now coming into the studio.
Right.
Them
too
all
many
in.
Spiders.
So I think we got to turn off the music.
Yeah.
Before they love them beats.
Before everyone who has, like, any... kind of minor arachnophobia who might have like just watched this episode and be like, I can't look at the screen anymore.
It just made me think of Ron Weasley. I was like, oh, this is his nightmare.
Yeah.
First reactions, what did you guys think of Arachnids in the UK?
I really liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked character development. I liked the sound design. I liked the cinematography. I was like, oh, I like almost everything about this episode. And I really hate spiders, so I won't ever probably watch it again. But I appreciate that I like the episode so much, but the spiders are too real.
There were things about it I liked and some things that I didn't like so much. It wasn't overall my favorite episode. Mm-hmm. I liked the spiders, and I liked some of the character development as well. But there were some other things in there that I was like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked diving into Yaz and finding out more about her and her family. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was good. It is really interesting to see... They're doing the full round of Doctor Who, like, type of shows.
Yeah.
And it was nice to get, like, this is the scary,
type thriller.
Of Doctor Who. Thriller.
The base under siege. Like, we hadn't gotten a base under siege yet.
Right.
That's, like, the big classic, like, mm-hmm. Doctor Who always does.
Yeah.
Base under, like, and that's what they call it in, like, the Doctor Who textbooks is base under siege.
And it was nice to get a scary one right in, like, you know, Halloween week.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little Halloween nod without being, like, too... overindulgent
about doing Doctor Who Halloween special. That's what we move off of Christmas episodes to
skeletons dancing around.
I wouldn't necessarily be angry about that, to be
kind of love that idea.
I thought this was a good episode. It was solid all around. Like, I had no like complaints like about this episode. I think the only thing I'm missing so far this season is like I want more, and I know that they're not really going to do this season. I want more arc building, like I want more big universe stuff.
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But like that's minor. That's like something that we can get at any point. As long as we get some of it at some point. But like I didn't need in this episode. And as far as a standalone goes, this was a solid one. I thought it had enough, like just the right amount of like political analogies and stuff in there, but it never felt super heavy handed.
Yeah,
to the point, like, because that can happen sometimes with any science fiction, any show, and Doctor Who is guilty of it plenty of times, where what they're trying to like have the reference be is like hitting you over the head with it, and this felt like enough separated from what it was trying to say. While also just giving us a good, like, science fiction-y little, like, villain monster character.
There was one aspect about this episode, though, that kind of, like, it tested my limits of empathy. Because they kept talking about, oh, we gotta, like, not shoot the spiders. And I kept thinking, like, just shoot the spiders.
Okay.
Like, just,
I see what you mean.
You know, like,
but at that point, when the spider was suffocating, I had that moment of like, well, you know, I never thought I'd be in a position where I feel empathy for a spider.
That was nice.
But I was like, I care. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I think that kind of speaks to, like, you don't have to just annihilate something just because it's inconveniencing you. And the spiders weren't actually a villain. They were just... The villain was Chris Noth.
But the thing is, like, it doesn't end with them finding a happy land for the spiders to live at the end. It ends with them still killing all the spiders.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it was an odd twist of an ending. Like, I love when the doctor is super empathetic and is even more empathetic than me or a normal human and is caring for the care of even horrible looking spiders.
Yeah.
I love that idea. I kind of wish it didn't end with them all dying in that sense, or a spider suffocating, and then the bad guy comes in and shoots the mom spider, and it is a mercy killing. I kind of agree. So it was a bit of a mixed message there.
I think it would have been a mercy killing if he had had a different intention.
His intent wasn't for that.
That was the difference. Is I felt like the creature was dying, and like Dave, I see what you're saying. Like there was a certain sense of like if he'd been using any other method, would the doctor have been so opposed to it? Because the fact is, this creature was going to slowly suffocate to death versus a more or less instant death via Jack Robertson's plan, which is just to shoot it. And like he is not redeemed because he did not intend it to be a mercy killing, but as far as like it's one of those like weird philosophy things. It's like is it the consequence? Is it the intention of the action that makes? I've been watching a lot of Good Place.
Right. Well, I mean the thing is it's like he's a dick, and that's why it's like feels like it's such a bad move to kill her. But they could have put the gun in anyone else's hands and had like a nice speech about how it's like we gotta make sure she dies with like as quick as possible.
That would have
and I would have felt fine.
Does like, it matter? Do you guys think it matters to the doctor that? And we're like jumping right into like the big part of the episode. Do you think it matters to the doctor that this was not a necessarily intelligent creature? Like the doctor talks to the spider like she would talk to any other alien creature, but the spider they never give us any sense in this episode that these are anything other than just spiders that got really big.
I think it goes against the message of Doctor Who, of the doctor, to have the doctor or the doctor's companions use a gun to take something's life. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is with Doctor Who is about being honoring the life of anything. So even if it's not an intellectual being, that's just not how the doctor rolls. The doctor is about saving life forms. You know what I mean? So I get why they didn't do it. At the same time, I'm also the same person who had to kill a mouse because the mouse is suffering. And I stomped stepped on a box on its head. So,
wow, we're getting, you know, dark.
Sometimes you do what you gotta do because you want a mercy kill, and you know, I definitely, but my intention was different from
right. Well, but Robertson. What's worse, to sit and watch something suffer as it dies when you could do something to help it?
And we could get into that. And we could get into the euthanasia debate for a long time. I don't think we need to go as deep down that rabbit hole on the Doctor Who After Show. But it is. But I like that Doctor Who at least broached that topic. Yeah. It didn't necessarily. I don't think it needed to offer a definitive answer on it. Yeah. It didn't. That's the thing. I didn't need them to really bring it up, but it sort of like mentioned it. Like
I just felt like they kind of. My complaint is that the message was brought up but not really addressed.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I feel because they did say like, oh, we can learn it all here, and then they said it's a civil, safe death for all of the spiders. And that was, they could have done something where the spiders could have lived happily ever after. It's,
they didn't address it. They kind of,
they could have mourned the spiders,
the political over the spider.
Yeah. And that's where the ending to me fell flat. Yeah. That was one of the things I didn't like was that ending. And it just kind of fell flat and it didn't feel like it really tied anything up either. It was exactly. Yes.
I just want to say though, because I said I'd bring it up. It definitely felt like Arachnophobia, the 1990 Frank Marshall classic with John Goodman, Julian Sands, and Jeff Daniels. Oh, I want to post that picture up there if you're on YouTube.
Good, more spiders.
Right? But these spiders aren't trying to, you know, they aren't intentionally doing harm. They're just being spiders. But those suckers. Go see that movie, y'all. It's so bad.
But at least as monsters, I thought the spiders were good. They were creepy.
Yes. They were definitely like, the scariest.
Visually very well designed. Mm-hmm. The setup for how they got big is just like, this is classic like comic book reversal. Like,
they fell in the ooze.
They fell in the radioactive waste that we threw in this mine, and now we got giant monsters eating people.
They were basically Bebop and Rocksteady. They fell in the ooze, and then they came out as mutants.
Except they didn't get to, like, talk, you know, like 4-year-olds.
And they don't have cool... like mohawks.
Yeah, they don't have 90s torn coats that they run around in.
It would have been cool to see some Teenage Mutant Ninja Spiders, I think.
Standing up on two legs, fighting.
Oh, no. Oh, man,
they just have a flurry of six. They have six arms and only two legs. Like,
what if they give them to the subterranean lizard people and then all of a sudden they're just riding these spiders
that
around?
That would be awesome.
And that's the happily ever after is the
Adam Vostra rides up from this hotel on spider back. Somebody please fan art it. Fan art it now. And Strax gets to ride one too.
Oh,
great. Yes.
Jenny is riding shotgun with Madame Vostra.
There you go.
Strax is on a slightly smaller spider.
Yes. And he said, well, if we couldn't kill it, I guess I could ride it. You're like, yeah.
Oh my god, I want it. Somebody please draw it and send it to us. So before we get deeper into this episode, because I want to talk about Jack Robertson, our Elon Musk Trump mashup character.
Is he an Elon Musk?
He's more just Elon Trump.
Yeah. He's like Trump.
He's basically Trump, except he lives in the same world as Trump, which was interesting because they bring up the idea that Trump is president and that he's planning on running against Trump, even though he's exactly the same person, which I think was an interesting move because I think it shows that we're not just talking, there's more people like Trump out there. It's kind of and they could even be on the opposite side of the fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I think that's part of why I bring Elon Musk into it. Now, there's like a whole, they do a ton of analogies with him, but it just, that was, when they first introduced him, I was like, is that who we're going with for this?
I mean, it's pretty clearly a strong dig at Trump. I mean, they made him a germaphobe. He fired someone within the first 2 minutes of him being on screen.
His skin had sort of an odd color to it.
Yeah. He has gold-plated hotels.
Yeah.
He straight up says hotels. Fire and Fury, which is a book, as well as a direct quote from the president.
Oh, boy. All right. Fair enough.
It was like, this is about Trump.
Yeah,
You're that bloke.
But this is like like 2011 Trump, where if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, Trump. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not president yet. So yeah. It's like, oh, you're delightfully.
Or not 2011, 2015.
But now this guy's talking about running. But we're going to get deeper into all of that. And we're going to talk about, like, we're going to talk about all of the companions and the doctor. Or weekly check in on, like, how, what are you thinking of the new doctor? Mm-hmm. But first, a quick message about AfterBuzz TV that Zia is going to give us.
AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. You can turn them off. It's amazing. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the chat and we will, or in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk. And thank you, Dave, for helping me with your
That was the weirdest lazy sign language. Again.
Dave Child justifying why they put us on camera.
Right?
I'm just giving the people who watch us something a little extra.
Right?
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive in to more about this episode, and I want to talk about the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She's in charge. I like that. We've seen that moment in trailers and stuff up to now, but I liked where it fell.
And he's like, "Who says that?" And they're like, "Us."
Everyone in the room is like, "We do."
I love it.
Back off.
Yeah. Diaz's mom is like, "Who is she?
Yeah.
Who are you people?"
I like that she thinks that she's seeing Yaz. Like that her and Yaz are seeing each other.
Nice.
And she's like, "No, Mom."
I like that because I think we even talked about that last season. I was like, if they do allude to the doctor in any way being like in a relationship with someone, I hope they still go with a woman. And so it was nice to kind of see that. Not that they're going to be in a relationship, but just like the even alluding to it or making the joke of like, "Are you two dating?" Which poor Yaz. Everyone thinks she's dating somebody.
Right, I thought it was adorable.
The mom was like, the mom's like a little bit of like, not mad, not like that like weird angry mom way, but like she was like disappointed. She's like, "Oh, are you Yaz?"
Yeah,
she's like, "I just want someone for my daughter." It's just
I love how excited the family was. Yeah, just to have any sort of friends, like the friends are here.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Sorry.
I was just gonna say I love the sister hitting on Ryan too.
Yeah,
as a sister being like, "So Sonya? You guys aren't together?" Yes, that was really funny.
Yeah, I love the doctor's reaction when the mom's like, "Are you two seeing each other?" I don't know. I don't think so. Are we?
Yeah. What does that even mean?
It's like, I don't know what we're talking about.
I'm starting to feel like this doctor has like ADHD a little bit. Mm. Like not in like a bad way. As somebody with ADHD, I don't say it in a bad way, but like it's. It just like that's like sort of the behavior model that I'm seeing for this character. It's like because she's all like if she's even more all over the place than other versions of the doctor. Like the doctor goes on rants all the time, but this doctor is just like she mentions like she's like maybe I'm nervous or socially awkward. Like
she's like a friendly Sherlock. Like the things that a lot of people care about. She does not, you know, really think about as much. So she's like, "Oh, are we dating? Is that something?" Or even just understanding pop culture, but not like being able to hit it like on
Ed
the
Sheeran,
nose.
They're like, "Are you Ed Sheeran?" Everyone's talking about Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And like knowing just enough.
Exactly. That
also, I love that she's fascinated with Ed Sheeran because one of the running things about the doctor I like is he or she always wants to be a ginger.
Yeah.
And is always upset about that.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on that line from Jody. I like little details from this one that were fun. Like, I was like, I never had a flat. My nerd brain went into like, but what about that one episode with
James Corden
when Matt Smith moved in? Yeah,
oh, yeah, he was James Corden.
I guess it wasn't his flat at the time.
Yeah,
it wasn't the doctor's flat. But I was he rented a room. Yeah. He had a flat for like a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the doctor just forgot about that moment.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh yeah, I guess they did.
Never
like
forget about Stormageddon.
Yeah.
One day they will give me adult Stormageddon. Zia, you don't know this. You didn't hear my rants and my begging for them to make Stormageddon the next companion. I still want it, Chibnall. You can do what Moffat never did. Give me Stormageddon. Grown-up Alfie.
Cool.
Anyway, on moving on.
I'm glad you did mention you have ADHD.
I liked that rant, though. Now I know.
We talked a little bit about how it was nice seeing like Ryan and like the sisters' interaction and mm-hmm. and yeah, this whole family. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they're gonna? I guess they're not gonna notice that. Yeah, as I ask that question, that Yaz is gone.
No, because this doctor is very good at getting people back within the hour. Whereas, like, Matt Smith's doctor...
Well...
all over the
place. Any of them.
Well, record of one time, too. I think this is
my
beat.
Give it to her. Because okay. I've never seen it done before.
She's more on time.
Yes.
It's happened once. Right. Yeah. One time more.
Never seen the doctor get anyone back on time.
I think he got Amy back for the wedding. Like...
True.
Like, that... He was bad when he was kept trying to come back just him, but yeah. Like right. Amy didn't like miss her wedding.
Yeah,
I guess
she maybe. Did try to sleep with that's, them on her wedding night, but that's neither here nor
yeah,
there.
That said, the doctor's record not good.
Yeah,
not good
for someone with a time machine.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a lot of. Another moment that I really like is when they're flying in the time machine in the TARDIS, and we get to kind of see what this season's like, kind of flying through the, space and time looks like.
The vortex.
I think vortex. Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah.
It was a different
and
look.
A whole mm-hmm. bunch of different
little pockets.
Ones,
as like because yeah. what it looks like is that they're actually going through black holes, which yeah. is. The theory is that the way to do time travel is to go through black holes.
So. Right. Yeah. Or that's like cool. wormholes, like those mm-hmm. those pathways.
That black
like,
holes are wormholes.
It's cool. It's something that we don't usually do. We just like
yeah.
click there.
You see them spinning yeah. and there's like, oh, you God. Know, hippy dippy lights around them, like around the TARDIS.
By the way, Rory Fansler says he got Amy back in time a lot during that episode where she kept pretending she wasn't traveling to Rory.
Okay, and then actually, okay. he did get, what's her face, Clara, back when she was going on all those dates with Pink.
With, yeah.
yeah. Right.
So I'll give it to you.
It's not that the doctor never gets people back in time. It's just that overall, the track record's not perfect.
Things get in the way.
A little bit.
What do you guys think about, like, how, like, so I want to talk about, like, Ryan and Grant.
Mm-hmm. Grant.
Graham.
Grace.
Grant. Like, we'll talk about Graham and Grace. Mm-hmm. That was
really sad.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit of like a story that they're starting to build, like this bigger yeah. like backstory
with the
companions. Like, yeah, that's like I say, I want some like overarching stuff, and like they're doing some stuff
and
with the companions.
Even doing it with the Doctor, they dropped that little tidbit about the Doctor having sisters. And have
that felt like doctor nonsense to me.
But there's also that thing about the what something child. Oh my gosh, I'm blaming.
Timeless child.
So I think there's just little hints that you know might lead to something. But with yeah. Ryan and
family is like yeah, is a reoccurring a theme. Theme in this.
Oh, that's what I was also going to say. So a big theme this year is family as well mm-hmm. as toxic masculinity. Like in terms of not in terms of like all men are bad, but addressing that this particular behavior is bad. You see it
wait in this episode.
You see it with the Robertson character, Chris Nilf's character. You see it with even in Rosa, the GFB character, Crosco. He's also kind of that toxic masculinity. And then you see it with the original aliens from the first episode. Right. It's just like, it's really subtle. And this was like probably the episode where it was most on the nose. But just in terms of how that idea of
one for
male,
power, too.
Yeah. But and I'm sure they're going to blow it up and see, we'll see it in different ways. But like that. Male type of,
but they're also balancing it off with like they're also balancing it off with Ryan and Graham
exactly, mm-hmm. and that's what yeah. I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's about hating men. It's actually addressing what people are saying toxic masculinity is. It's not about men being bad. It's about this trait that through society has kind of like allowed and ignored or enforced being a problem. But they also, by having Graham and Ryan there, saying it's not something that we think is like overall a men problem. It's something that negatively affects everyone that is in it.
It's that over aggressive, like, I'm right, you're wrong, like, just listen to me, and forcing that opinion on people, like the way that Jack
fascism really too.
Basically, yeah.
It's basically fascism. And every single, because when you're looking at
toxic masculinity, is just a new term fascism. For fascism.
Yeah, that's true. And it's almost like it's interesting that we've moved away from the term fascism because the term fascism sounds more gender neutral, weirdly. Mm. But yeah, it's the same exact thing. Mm. And you have the reoccurring teeth aliens in the beginning, and then every single one of these characters, even the future racist was that, and this kind of new Trumpian is kind of,
it's just a really subtle thing that I noticed that I was like, I wonder if he's kind of putting that in there, because we did talk about how the doctor is going to encounter people now that the doctor is a woman, and so it's just something I picked up on.
We saw it a little bit. I was like, from a couple episodes ago, we didn't quite have this moment, and I feel like it's still coming, but I was expecting a moment where someone would address Graham or someone would address someone else before they address the doctor, and not realizing the power lies with the doctor. We saw a little bit of it in this episode.
Yeah.
When he comes and says, like, why is she in charge? Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit of a nod towards that.
Yeah,
a little bit. I was just going to say, however, they have done that a lot in the past with the doctor assuming, you know, his lead role and everybody kind of being like, wait, why do you get to be in charge? And the doctor being like, because I'm the doctor. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're also staying true to that as well, because it's kind of been a trend.
Mm-hmm. But you don't usually see people fight back as much like we did with Jack here. Like, his reaction was very like, why her? It felt like it pointed that way. And like, the show was clearly doing that on purpose, that they had that moment of like everyone, all of our friends to be like, because she's the best. Like, why would you even ask that?
There's also, to go back to what her character is developing into, I see in her something that's, she's a lot more, she treats everyone more as equals than previous doctors. I think previous doctors really talked down to people and was like, I'm the leader, I'm the teacher, I'm gonna be the person in charge here. And she's more of leading a group and talking to the group and talking as a fam. And I think there's a reason why this episode ends with all of them holding down the TARDIS, the lever, and pulling it, because she sees everyone as an equal, and she's more about working as a team than really kind of than telling people what they need to do, which is, I think it is nodding towards like toxicity and fascism.
That's
and getting away from it.
Dave, that's a great point. Like, that, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Like, that is going to be the big difference between this season and past seasons, is the doctor and the companion. And I think that's why they sort of straight away, Chibble talking about them as companions, because they're not just like a companion. A companion sort of implies like a tag along.
No, they're team, like, TARDIS.
They're team TARDIS. They're friends. Yeah. They are. Obviously, they're not.
Bam. That doesn't sound right.
They're not naturally equals, but Adrian, it's also what you said, like, about the theme being family. I think those two thoughts tie perfectly together.
Yeah.
Like that idea that the doctor is building a family. And like, we open with the doctor so sad, she's like, I don't want to say, like, she's clearly like, I don't want to say goodbye, but like, I get that. Yeah, I got you home. Like,
that was different for the doctor, which I liked, because I think normally we've seen the doctor. I remember seeing the doctor more like, listen, you have to go. You have to go. I have to be alone. I have to be alone, well, and I have to be sad.
Tennant's doctor.
This is
didn't
a bit new. That's true.
Always do that. He occasionally did that, but like, when he wanted Donna Noble to be his companion,
he asked.
Yeah. And he was like really vulnerable about it. So I think there's always going to be, I think this is okay that the doctor would be different when being betrayed by a woman in more ways than one, that there is going to be
sensitivity
that comes with the doctor, and that's there's nothing wrong with that as a part of being a woman or as a part of being a man. It's just that society-wise, women can express that sensitivity more.
Well, they're expected to, and that's actually
That's when it gets bad. But yeah.
Well, and also good because it allows them to be sensitive because there's the bad side of – we're getting into deep stuff here – but the bad side of patriarchy, even for guys, is guys aren't supposed to be sensitive. They have to bottle it up, and when they bottle it up, that's where the real bad stuff ends up exploding out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a big problem. And so having a doctor be more sensitive, even if a future doctor is going to be a male – I think we have one person in the chat say, so being a woman has changed the doctor for the better. And I think that's true because it shows – it gives – a more of a spectrum to how this one character is able to express themselves and see the world.
And that's something that I think like we could all benefit from to a certain extent. Like you want to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes.
Yeah.
And we can't all do that, like where we can just like step into a different gender and then understand it from that perspective. But try to see things from that perspective and don't like be closed off to others' experiences and how they could be different from you or how they could be the same, even if the two people are vastly different.
And it shows that the doctor is still the same person as a woman or as a man. But there's going to be, I think there's the allowance when the doctor is in a woman's form of having that kind of vulnerability or sensitivity from jump that isn't necessarily there when the doctor is in a male form. And they even kind of alluded to that even in Moffat when the previous Time Lord was like, oh my God, with the men, it's just so much ego. But you have to think about how that's also encouraged by society. Anyways, Ryan's father.
Yeah. I wanted to piggyback off of this thing to transition because we're talking about this idea of like toxic masculinity and being able to show and deal with your emotions.
Yeah.
I think it's a great place to talk about Graham and what he's dealing with because I thought that the way that they expressed the way he's dealing with his grief, like his loss, was really beautiful. It was subtle. It wasn't like constantly there throughout the episode, but it was peppered in just enough where it's like clearly he is dealing with it the entire time. Like he's seeing her, not literally. He's not literally like having visions.
I mean, we see that as the audience.
Yes, I think it's more of a manifest. It's a visual representation of that thing that I think a lot of people do normally where they have a conversation with the person that can't be there, whether that's whether that's an angry conversation or in this case just like a very solemn one. Like it's something that people do, and I thought it was portrayed really well, and it's him dealing with it and with the way he talks about it at the end, like grief takes time.
It does
and this is a guy who's like, you know, well, grief can take time, but I can step out of time for a little while. It doesn't have to affect my life here.
Yeah.
I can step out, deal with it, and come back, and I can do some stuff I've never done before in the process. Yeah. Now, whether going on crazy, life-threatening adventures is the healthiest way to deal with your grief,
it's just nice to see grief on Doctor Who. You don't actually...
Yeah.
A lot of the times, I think they even talked about this one time, where it's about the Doctor goes and the Doctor doesn't see what you know, he, she does to the companions once he's gone. Like, I think they mentioned that. I think maybe Martha might have said that to him at one point when she comes back later. And so it was nice to see them have this is me finally saying, okay, it was fine that Grace died in the first episode. But, because
they're using it.
Because they're actually using it to an effective way to tell a story about healing and vulnerability.
Yeah, and grief is something that is always, it's never forgotten. It's always just, people are looking at grief now nowadays where it's not something that's erased by time, it's just more life is built around it. You know, it's still there, but there's more life, so it gets smaller because your life gets bigger. And that's what they're leaning towards, and I really appreciate that because there's, I think, you know, a lot of people have experienced a lot of grief in their lives, and as someone who has, and it is something that you need to not just dwell in the life that you had. And being in that house and actually not doing anything except living every day when you have the chance to go out and explore the galaxy, it is a healthy process because you're expanding your life, you're making it bigger, and she's always still going to be there. And they're still, like, leaning towards that, which is – it's a great discussion to have.
And yeah. I also really like that he's starting to build more of a connection with Ryan. And that's really his connection to Grace because that's Grace's grandson. Mm-hmm. And right. so they can start to, he can start to have, well, not start to have, but he will have a piece of Grace with Ryan. And I think it'll be good for both of them to kind of have each other, especially throughout all of this.
Yeah. So Zia, off of that, I want to know, what do you think about this letter from Ryan's dad?
I feel like it was insulting to Ryan, and I feel like it was just insulting in general for him to be like, well, I'm your proper family.
Mm.
But it sounds like they obviously, or it sounds like they didn't have a very healthy relationship, which just to me, blood doesn't mean anything. It's 100% how you treat the people that you care about. It's, and family doesn't necessarily have to be... No, go ahead.
Doesn't necessarily have to be
people that you are related to. It's the people that care for you and are there for you.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we don't know too much about his father yet, but just the fact that he wrote him a letter and Ryan didn't want to open it is kind of telling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see when Ryan's father is properly introduced. just because that's a whole interesting dynamic they're playing with or talking about in terms of black sons and black fathers.
Yeah.
And I don't know too much about, I would assume the dynamic isn't too different, you know, in the UK as it is here, but an absentee father or what that means or what's the actual story there. Is he really an absentee father? Like what really went down? And so, I mean, clearly it's now, but...
It's playing off a possible stereotype that you have to like.
It's playing off enter. A possible stereotype, but I mean, even with my own brother and my father, like, just my dad's not absentee, but it's a complicated relationship just by the very act of them being black men, you know. So I'm curious to see how they're going to play with that, and also how they're going to develop that alongside Ryan having a relationship with Graham.
One thing that's nice that we're seeing already, they're doing a great job with building every character and finding out more about each character in every single episode. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen this arc with Ryan, where in the first episode he would only refer to Graham as his step-grandfather and would never refer to him as his grandfather and step, step.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's saying, I hate that he said, you're not my proper family. Mm-hmm. That's already a huge growth for Ryan.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that progress even further. And they're also progressing like a Yaz Ryan thing by pointing at it a bit more.
Don't do it.
I like that.
I kind of ship it. I gotta be honest.
It's not because I don't ship it. It's just because don't do it.
Like, why not?
Because I always want to test people to just let a man and a woman on a show just be friends.
Yes, but the fact that they're not. Listen, it's TV. It's TV, and they have to put some sort of ship somewhere, and they're steering it away from the Doctor, and that's what I like.
I get it.
I like focusing on these two characters that they're building a relationship with, and I think that's okay as far as like the other one.
I get it, but I think I even said this last season. The test I wanted to see was them to just have a platonic love between a straight man and a straight woman on Doctor Who with a female doctor. And so they're like, it's not the Doctor, but it's still something I'm like, just, I don't know, it can happen.
But it's still there, because the Doctor is still going to have a platonic love with all of this family.
And it is, that's
and
true.
And you're going to have that familial love with Graham
and Ryan. I'm just saying, I don't want any romance.
Well,
and I get that.
You're a Grinch.
And here's the thing. I totally understand that. Because I've said that on other shows where it's like, we can just have two people who just like each other and want to spend time together. Mm-hmm. It is rare that you see a truly platonic relationship. I've been like developing this like formula. Not really, but like if I want to.
You get like your room has all these like.
It's a sitcom formula that's like the longer two characters, a show goes on, the more like every variable of a relationship will happen in some form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like whether it's in a dream. Like think about like How I Met Your Mother and like whether it's in a dream or anything. Like all those characters wind up doing something together before. Before you get to season 10. But I know, I understand that desire for like platonic. But that said, I totally ship it.
I got a question because Billy, the question on the chat that I want to bring up. Billie Jean Girl 24 brought up. Did they talk about what happened to Ryan's mom?
They haven't mentioned it.
Yeah, they haven't mentioned
sort
it.
Sort of nebulous so. At yeah. this point.
Okay, okay.
And I always wonder when we ever, whenever there's a character mystery, especially a parent on this show, is there going to be some timey-wimey shit that messed with them? Or we go like with Rose and like, what are we going to find out here? Are we going to travel back? I always felt like we were going to get more with Clara's parents. That they like they built this thing and it always felt like it was going to be some crazy conspiracy. And it was pretty just cute and minor. But maybe we're going to get that here with Brian.
Maybe.
We get some timey-wimey stuff that's just nuts. I'm here for it.
Plus, someone in the chat said, I'm with Dave on Ryan and Yaz being together. Because not a bad play.
I'm not against it. I just prefer it didn't happen. But I'm not against it either.
That's all right.
I mean, it's nice to see two brown people who are also not of the same race in a relationship. Because you don't see that often either, where it's like...
True.
And it doesn't feel like that weird Martha Mickey situation. Where it's a little like, two also, black people.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, you're still talking about interracial dating and you're talking about it from a point of view that we don't often see. So I appreciate that as well. I just don't want any romance.
Well, with only a few minutes left, I want to ask you guys if there were any other standout moments from this episode that you really liked. Like, we talked about the monster in the Jack Robertson plotline a little bit. The mom, Yaz's mom. My name is Nasya. Yaz's mom. Just, I liked that little repetition of
she
the joke.
Keep seeing it.
But anything else that like stood out to you guys?
I like Yaz's dad. I like that we Hakeem. Got to see. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really like that we got to see that. He was just such a good-natured, like, father figure. Mm-hmm. It was really nice to see. And that he, you know, is cleaning around the house and trying to cook. Well, trying to cook. Supposedly, he's not good at that one particular thing.
It looks like an awesome meal.
It looks good to me, too. I really enjoyed
Yeah, that. The whole family was introduced in a very short amount of time, but fully fleshed out characters, even in that short amount of time. I also love that the doctor loves that she says, dude.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of her saying, dude. Mm-hmm. And I love that she loves that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm with you because I say dude a lot.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I say dude now. Such a good moment.
I did it, like, we talked about the Jack Robinson character, but I thought he had some great, like, lines that like, set up. It is that, like, continued of, like, any time we deal with Americans on this show. And I know we did Rosa last week, but it always feels like, man, if you just saw Doctor Who and was like, got your idea of what Americans are, and maybe this is fair these days, in like as I say this, I liked the I don't need your approval, Doctor. This is what the world needs right now, and it felt very like, yep, that's Americans.
Well, they're bouncing the Rosa last week with the Trump of this week, so it's a good like dichotomy of the two.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. So before we wrap out, we've got to do our segment, Who's Who on Who.
Yeah,
artist sound.
Right?
So, Adrian.
I'll be super quick. Okay, so there were a few special guests on this episode of Doctor Who. Sorry, I'm adjusting my chair. We had Shabna Gulati, who played Nadia, the mom. She's actually known as a series regular on Coronation Street as Sunita Alahan.
That's a stunning picture of her.
She's gorgeous.
Wow. Boom!
I was like, I'm going to do you right, girl. Nice picture. Then we also had, of course, Mr. Big, Chris Noth, or Noth. I'm pretty sure it's Noth. He's done Sex and the City and The Good Wife, but you mainly know him from Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a delight in real life because he definitely speaks to the fact that he plays characters that are not that nice.
Right.
And he's very much aware of it. And, you know, just Google his interviews. He's really great. Then we also had the director who was – there is a – Chris Chibnall is doing a push to actually have diversity behind the scenes with his directors.
Awesome.
This is the second female director. Last week was also directed by a black woman, the first black woman to ever direct an episode of Doctor Who.
Really?
Yes. And so Sally – I'm going to mess up your name. I'm sorry. Abrahamian was the director. She's known for being a writer on EastEnders and director of The Worst Witch and Wolfblood. And then I really want to call out the sound effects.
The Worst Witch?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I wanted to call out the sound effects / Foley creator for this episode, Harry Barnes. I just thought it was really wonderfully done sound mixing and sound editing. And so he did Children of Men, Hellboy 2, Kingdom of Heaven, and Sweeney Todd.
Ooh.
So he definitely had that thriller horror background.
That makes the great sense. The spider noises as they're crawling, like especially like that creepy. That one scene where they're on the ceiling and we get that reveal. It makes the skin crawl a little bit.
And then lastly, I just want to call out a few references to The Tenant Years, Season 3, Episode 1, Rachnos and the Runaway Bride, was when we also encountered a very large spider, but alien. Also later referred to in Turn Left with the Trickster with the spider on the back. Yeah, that crap was gross. Still gross. 10 years later. And then the Season 4, Episode 7 episode of The Unicorn and the Wasp with the Vesper form. That's also another time where the Doctor used a natural element, pepper, to attack the animal or deter the animal or whatever.
Way too many giant bugs on this
show.
Can
we take a moment to also look at that picture and realize how much the special effects have improved?
So much better.
Yeah. In that time. That's
so
a,
much better. Yeah.
That looks like it was done in like Photoshop.
Yeah.
And that bee is not that bad. Especially when you can see like, whatever.
I don't know. I just think it's much better now with all the spiders of this episode were pretty good.
Well, yeah, they were.
So oh, yeah.
A bigger budget for sure as well. Yeah.
But mainly that the Doctor used the essential oils or peppermint and tea tree oil for the spiders as well. So natural. I'm an herbalist. Natural bug deterrent so you don't have to kill them.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, thank you, Adrian, for that who's who on who. And thank you, audience, for joining us on today's Doctor Who After Show. Should I just call them Team TARDIS?
Yeah.
Are we
gonna, or is that going to be confusing because there's...
Predictions?
Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Oh, okay.
But next week, we're going to Space Hospital?
Space Hospital.
Space Hospital.
Those are always safe.
I mean, look, we've done all the standard Doctor Who episodes. Go back in time, go to another planet, base under siege.
Gotta get that Space Hospital.
Gotta
give
get a good Space Hospital.
Give me them cat nurses.
It is a very classic Doctor Who trope. Yep. Like, for better or worse, like, Space Hospitals.
Space above.
Dave. Where can everyone find you if they want to find you on the internet?
Oh, you can find me at DaveChild.com or MrDaveChild on the Twitter and the Instagrams, because my name is Dave Child.
Zia.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_land. It's XIA_land. And immediately after this, I'll be doing Marvel TV Weekly.
Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow.
I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Also, be sure to check out the Daredevil After Show that I do with Zia, as well as Christian Blatt and Jesse Klein. Stay tuned for more announcements on that. I also have a podcast called Chips in the Night, where we take weird fictional couples like Elsa and Jon Snow and decide how that relationship would work out. Chips in the Night on all of the platforms. Guys, this has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.